Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we celebrate films we think are underrated, underseen, or we just wanted to talk about them. I'm Josh Hallam and I'm joined as ever by Alice Oliver. Alice, how are you doing?
Oh, very, very well. Thank you, Josh. And yourself?
Oh, I'm not bad. We are joined by another brilliant guest. He's a comedian, he's a podcaster, he's a presenter, amongst many, many other things. Mark Nelson, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm glad. Thanks so much for asking me. I'm well looking forward to this.
All right. That's the end. Bye. See,
We did it.
you're well then.
I'm very well. I'm very well. It's just started absolutely chucking it down here in Glasgow.
So we're in Liverpool. So maybe it's moved up north. We had that a couple of hours ago, didn't we?
But it's what
you call muggy here. Do you know what I mean?
It's the worst.
Yeah. I think it's the worst. Other than really strong wind, it's the worst weather for me.
Yeah. You get it at the festival quite a lot, that muggy weather.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Where it rains and it's hot and you can see audiences, steam rises off them.
Impossible to pack for.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, we always start with a completely random question. I'll come to you first, Alice. It's a big one this week. We could be setting the world to rights here.
Oh, here we go. I've no idea what you're about to ask me, so here we go.
Biscuits or cakes?
Oh Christ, on a bike. Biscuits or cakes?
Is that a biscuit or cake?
Oh God, I do love both loads.
You got to pick one, that's the
question.
What's
a fig roll?
Biscuit.
I've got to go cake, I reckon, you know, just because I love cheesecake so much. And I love Black Forest Gatto so much.
Retro.
So I reckon probably cake, but I do bloody love biscuits. I was just thinking about Jammy Dodgers earlier as well.
Great.
Didn't have one, just thinking about them.
I love
that
a Jammy
enough.
Dodger.
Oh, what Black, about you, Josh?
Black Forest Gatto for me is overrated. It's like trifle.
Oh, really?
It's
it's
overrated. It's like, you know, they wheel it out every
blasphemy.
Now and then. It's like, you go around to your mum and dad's for Sunday dinner. I've made a trifle, have you? Great.
I bloody love
it's
a trifle.
Bread and
what
butter pudding
about?
As well. Bread and butter pudding. That, I can fuck
oh,
off.
No.
Ooh,
bread and butter pudding.
Milk. Yes, please. for me, it's biscuits.
I do like both.
Oh, do you know, like Jammy Dodger.
I love a Jammy Dodger.
What are those German ones that are biscuit with chocolate on the top over the top of it, like Choco Liebens or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. Them. Viennese ones. What are they? Like two shortbreads and a chocolate
like Viennese
in the
biscuits, right?
Yeah,
I think that's it.
Jam and creams, BNBNs, classic.
I hadn't had a BNBN in time.
You've got to have a BNBN.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
So for me, it's biscuits. I do like both, but if I had to pick,
I feel like
I can get more from a biscuit.
You can dunk it. It's got that dunkability factor.
You don't dunk a cake, do you? Do you know what I mean? If you were in a cafe and you were shoving some carrot cake in a coffee, they'd escort you out.
Yeah, a bit weird,
that.
Yeah. Bit weird.
Mark, what about you? Biscuits or cakes?
Very easy. Biscuits.
Yes. 2-1.
I don't like cakes at all.
What?
Really.
You don't like any cake?
I do. I like them a bit, but I'm not a huge fan. But biscuits, God, I could eat biscuits all day.
Viscounts.
What's a Jaffa cake though? Is there not like a big debate over that?
So that's a big, that is, it's something to do with VAT, that, isn't it? It's like, it's genuinely, there's a court case, if you Google it, there's some sort of court case where they wanted to be one and they were being labelled as the other and they wanted to be the other one because that meant they didn't have to pay VAT.
So
I think it might be you pay VAT on cakes and you don't on biscuits.
But it
they
is.
Call themselves a cake, but they're not.
It's a cake in biscuit form, right? Because it takes like the shape and the sort of practicality of a biscuit, because you can just pop one out the packet and shove it in your gob. Like, you haven't got to sit down and carve it and put it out on plates or whatever.
It's a biscuit, right? You wouldn't have a but massive Jaffa cake at a wedding, would you?
There's
well, maybe.
Hours.
Would you?
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God, yeah.
Is that what you had at your wedding? Massive Jaffa cake.
It's not something about what happens if you leave it out in the air.
Oh, yeah, it goes stale. Oh. That it, yeah.
If it goes stale, yeah.
Is it, so if it goes stale, it's a cake?
So it is a cake, then?
Maybe it's a cake.
See, yeah, I might have to change definitely, my mind then.
No, I think that is a very good call, because, it, yeah, Jaffa cake would go hard, whereas mm-hmm. a biscuit would go soft over time. Yep.
That's true.
We've cracked it. We've cracked it. Get the lawyers on the phone. Tell them we've cracked it.
Get them in. Little film podcast. Don't worry, we sorted it.
We sorted the debate for you.
Right, so we'll move on to talking about this week's film. Now, the film Mark has chosen, which we'll come on to, is Police Academy, but in a rare turn of events, when I asked Mark to come on, he actually chose two films we'd already done before.
Oh, guys, I'm buzzing about this. I'm buzzing about this. Guess what?
Do you want to tell us the... So one of them was Cocktail. Mark,
the first one
tell
was Cocktail.
Which
we'd
already
Cocktail
done before.
Cocktail, I think, is the most underrated film of all time.
And that's what we thought when we did it.
Yeah, and the other one was Grease 2.
I'm going to get messages
guys,
now.
Grease
I adore. I think it's it's so far better than the first one. It's ridiculous.
Wow. I'm going to be... Yeah. This keeps happening on this podcast. People keep going on.
I have so many strong feelings about Grease 2 and how it is a billion times better than the first one for so many reasons. We won't go into it. That's not what this episode is about. But when Josh told me that you wanted to pick that, oh my God, I wanted to let you pick it. I was like, let's do it. Let's talk about it again. Let's
do it. Grease 2 too.
I don't even care.
Well,
there's quite a lot of comedians love Grease 2 as well.
I've heard it. It's not like outside of this podcast, I've heard plenty of people like make a case for Grease 2. I'd seen it when I was a kid, and then when we did it on the podcast, I thought it was all right. I didn't hate it. I just was like, yeah, it's not as bad as everybody says it is. Mm. That was like my sort of response to it. But like, Alice, you really love Grease 2. Em, who's another one of our guests.
I loved it. So I loved it as a kid, yeah. And then it came into my mind to do it for the podcast. So I was like, right, yeah, let's do it. And then I watched it again as an adult. And I was like, this film actually bangs. Like, it is actually good. This isn't just me, like, rose-coloured glasses or whatever, or, you know, nostalgia kind of blinding me to the reality of it. It's actually a cracking film. And if you compare it to the first one, with shits all over it. Shits all over Grease 1.
The songs are much better than the
songs
first.
Are amazing. Cool Rider is one of the best songs in the world.
Best songs in the world.
I said it. Yeah. I said what I said.
Yeah. It goes, Gimme Shelter by the Stones, Help for the Beatles, and then Cool Rider by Michelle Pfeiffer.
He knows.
So let's move on to talking about the film that you have picked, the third time of trying, which is Police Academy, which is from 1984. Spoiler warnings for those of you who haven't seen a almost 40-year-old film.
We
had to give a spoiler warning for, was it Meet Me in St. Louis? It was the oldest film we'd done.
Nearly 100 years. Yeah.
For those who were around when it first came out, still waiting to see it at the cinema. Anyway, so Mark, Police Academy, for those who don't know, what's it about and why did you pick it for the podcast?
So Police Academy is a 1980s comedy. That is about, so it's a nondescript city. You never really find out which one it is. And the mayor, the female mayor, has decided to initiate a program to clean up the city where they are going to allow regular people to apply to become policemen, to become in the police academy. So what happens is you get a ragtag bunch of misfits that all join the police academy and you follow their adventures. The main character, I might as well say the, I think he's the, is he the police commissioner is not happy about this. He's not happy about this.
The chief.
He's not happy about this because he thinks it's devaluing the police force and the police academy. And he's really not happy about it because it will allow women in. And there's a scene where he describes the fact that he used to see Johnsons everywhere. right, that very American term to describe a penis. So it used to be Johnson's as far as the eye can see. And he's not happy with this. So he wants Commandant Lassard, who is basically Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
But they couldn't afford Leslie Nielsen. So he said to him, right, these guys can join, but you need to get them out. There's no way they can graduate and become policemen. So we then meet Steve Guttenberg's character, the main character, who is Carrie Mahoney. And he has recently, he works in a, it's like a parking garage.
Yeah.
And he has trashed someone's car because he's got this incredible skill, like most people have, where he can drive a car on two wheels. And
easy.
He settles it. So
piece of piss.
The guy, yeah, his boss is furious with him. But luckily, Mahoney knows a guy in a police, he knows a police sergeant who used to be his pals with his dad. And he offers him a choice of either going to prison or he has to join the police academy. So that's the thing, become a bad guy or a good guy. So he joins the police academy, meets, while he's at the police station, he meets another one of the cadets who is played by Michael Winslow, who is Larvell Jones, who has an incredible talent for being able to mimic any noise in the world. He'll be probably the most memorable character of the whole series.
Yeah.
So they join, and then you get to meet all the characters. You get to meet Hightower, huge big black guy that's there. You get to meet Hooks, who is a very softly spoken woman. There's Douglas Fackler, who's an incredibly clumsy man. You get Barbara, who doesn't really want... None of them really want to be there, but they've all got their own reasons for being there. And then it becomes like a kind of slapstick Full Metal Jacket.
What a great way of putting it.
They just go through the training and various mishaps happen. There is a lot of sexual tension that's going about being an 80s comedy. And in the end, there is a massive riot in the city. And because of Commandant Lassard's clumsiness, the cadets, who are not yet fully qualified policemen and women, are left to deal with the riot, and then at the end they graduate.
Brilliant, brilliant. So, did you pick it because you think it's underrated, underseen, or you just like it?
Now, I thought it was underrated when I was first doing this, because I was always going to pick something. Whenever I ask these kind of questions, I always go to things like Grease 2 that I've loved.
Yeah.
When I was a child, because that's when I loved films so much.
Yeah.
So I almost went for Weird Science as well.
Ooh,
so it's that kind of era.
Mm.
And I remember my brother and I watching this film way too young. Like as most people watching this film way, like 8 years old. But the thing is, it's a PG.
Is it?
It's a PG, right?
There's tits everywhere in this.
There is. And that's the thing. It's like Jaws is a fucking PG. It's unbelievable. This is when you could get away with anything. So there's swearing in this. There's drugs references. There's
just assume this was a 15.
Nah, PG. PG 13 in
that
America.
That is mad.
So yeah, I mean, and at the time, the majority of the jokes completely flew over my head.
Mm.
And then as I watched, as I was getting older, I was getting more and more of the jokes. And I always remembered it so fondly. And I always remember laughing a hell of a lot. So in terms of a comedy, I think it probably is underrated. Because I think, having watched it again since, I think there's a lot that's problematic about it, as there is with most 80s and 90s comedies.
And noughties.
Even 2000s. Even into the 2000s as well. Some of it, fucking hell.
But I think it's one of those films that if it hadn't come along, you wouldn't have had another load of films later on. So I think, I'll not go so far as to say it was a trailblazer, but I will say that It helped a lot of the later films that were comedies.
Okay. So, Alice, before we get into it then, had you seen this before?
No, hadn't seen it. Kind of had heard of it, but didn't really, like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't realise that this was the type of film that it was. I think most of my, like, where I've heard it from is things like Family Guy, yeah, maybe Simpsons, The Simpsons, like, yeah, just reference, pop culture reference. But no, didn't, had no idea what to expect, had no expectations going in. What about yourself, Josh? Had you seen this
one? Yes, similar to you. So I hadn't seen, I knew what it was about because I'd seen it parodied so many times, and I knew bits about it. Like, I knew the sound effects guy, you know, I think most people know the sound effects guy. It's like a really famous part of this film, but no, went into it other than, I think it had, it's one of those things, it left a lasting footprint on pop culture, didn't it? So, like Mark says, it was influential in many
you
ways.
Can see
so
the influences,
I don't
yeah.
think there's many people who would watch it for the first time now and not know at least a base outline of some the plot of or yeah. the or even
or the music.
Or the music.
The music was the thing. As soon as the music started,
the
I was like, I know
amazing.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I've definitely
brilliant.
Heard it parodied, brilliant. Like you say, in Family Guy or The Simpsons or something like that, but I'm not too sure when. And there's a lot of jokes in this that I'd seen in other stuff, like, you know, like, don't move, dirtbag, and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, oh, is that what that? This is what that. This is what that's from. That's so. Mm. So that was really interesting. So I was interested to go in and have a look at it then. So let's get stuck into what we liked about it then, Alice. What did you like about the film? What were your general thoughts?
So I really like the concept. I think the idea that anyone from anywhere with any sort of background can become a police officer gives you endless possibilities of the type of characters that you can get all in one place. And it can become a real melting pot of people, of undesirables, as they're called in the film. And I think they really utilise that. And that's where obviously a lot of the comedy came from. And I think it was a real draw. And it was just, it was just quite an interesting concept, and I think they kind of did the best that they could with it. And it reminded me a lot of a high school film, but for and starring adults. So near the beginning, especially, it feels like a bunch of kids on their first day of school or college/university. So it's funny to see how these adults respond in these situations that we would usually see kids in. So you've got like the cool guys with like Mahoney, and is it George Martin who's the
George
guy
Martin.
Who
pretends to be Spanish,
have an accent to get the ladies. Yeah. So they're like the cool, sexy guys, and then you've got like the pretty girl, and then the nerds and the narcs and the principal and the hot teacher in the sergeant. And it really riffs off all these kind of tropes that you usually see in teen movies, except that not only are they adults, but they're trying to achieve something really serious, like becoming a police officer. So I thought that was really clever and really funny. My favorite character, and is his name Tackleberry?
Tackleberry, yeah.
That military
show. Yeah, so I had to look it up because I was like, oh, what is this guy's name? And I was like, he's my favourite. So he's a little bit unhinged and a little bit crazy, but I thought he was great. So yeah, I really liked the concept, and I really liked a lot of the characters and what they did with the characters. What about you, Josh? What was like your main takeaway from this?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a really simple premise, isn't it? And you go in and straight away, you know what the plot is, you know what the background is, just with a bit of text on the screen. And sometimes there can be elements of that where it's like, show me, don't tell me. But I think it works really well in this, rather than in a scene where they talk about what they're going to do, just this is what the mayor said, and then this is the plot. And I really liked that. It's got basically boundless potential for comedy in this because it's so, so broad. And what I like about it is that essentially it's like a series of sketches. Like, you can see the influence of something like Monty Python on this, in that it's just a series of sketches and different types of comedy, and they do all of them really well. There's some really good slapstick stuff in there that reminded me, you know, speaking of Leslie Nielsen, reminded me of Naked Gun and Airplane and that sort of stuff. There's some really funny visual gags. I mean, one of my favourite jokes was when, and I know we don't like to just talk about scenes from the films, but when the villain is writing on the blackboard and he just keeps going and it just becomes absolute gibberish. Because I've been in a training situation like that and you're like, what the? Is he talking about?
Yeah.
And like, and it's just, you know, acronyms and summaries and all that sort of stuff. So really enjoyed that. Some good dialogue driven gags in there. There was a lot of really well constructed sketches that were written like stand-up jokes. So like the bit where they're all shaving their head, and it is like Full Metal Jacket, the guy's shaving their head, and I remember thinking, well, they don't shave their head to go in the police, and then you're like, and then at the end the guy's like, No, just do whatever you want. He's just a barber. Like, yeah. He's not.
So, like, yeah, just ask for just a little off the top,
yeah,
please.
Just a bit off the side.
So
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know, that is essentially, it's like a joke, isn't it? A setup, a punchline, and then that's the result. So I really enjoyed that. I mean, I laughed a lot at this film. I did go into it worrying that it might have aged poorly, which, you know, I'm sure we'll come on to later on. But and also there's elements as well that I think it's quite feel good. There's some good payoffs. They sow some seeds of plot and then they pay off later on. So there's a guy, his surname Barbara, he's a sort of chubby guy, and he's being bullied at the beginning by sort of people who come to his Kodak like kiosk, don't they?
Yeah.
And he's very much, I'll get you, and then he does. And there's a few little bits of payoffs as that they sow in that they come into it later on. And I think it's a really, really well-structured comedy that is, yeah, like I say, it's almost like a series of sketches, but there is some really good character development in there in terms of giving you some satisfaction as an audience member. So overall, yeah, I can see why people like really like this film. I know the only other thing I knew going into it was it became a bit of a parody because they did so many sequels, but
yeah,
I mean, there's plenty of franchises that just go on and on and on and that don't ever die. I mean, there's most horror franchises. But yeah. Anyway, Mark, so having had a look at it then, what do you think? What do you like about it?
It's the characters for me. I think this is an incredibly well-rounded, very, very funny characters.
Yeah.
I love the slapstick element of it. I think that is a great thing. And when I was kind of reading about it afterwards, and I didn't know that... So they made it as... It was around about the time when like Porky's came out and Airplane had just came out, and they were trying to ramp up the kind of gross out humor that would then come on later in the 90s and stuff like that. And the director wanted to kind of dial back on that and make it a lot more set piecey and a lot more visual gags. And a lot less just farts.
Mm.
And apparently the initial script had so many fart jokes, it was unbelievable.
Oh,
and he gave in and said, right, I'll keep the one bit. And the one bit that they definitely wanted was there's a scene where Lieutenant Harris, who's the lieutenant that basically is trying to make sure that they fail.
Yeah.
And he's hired these two basic neo-Nazis to kind of help him. And there's a scene where there's a chase and he commandeers a bike and he ends up going over the handlebars of the bike and getting wedged right up a horse's arse.
Yes.
And that's the scene that he said, I'm only allowing that scene if I can reference it afterwards. And that scene's not, like when I was a kid, that was hilarious. Like a guy going up a horse's bum was amazing. But it's the scene afterwards, because it's only him and Mahoney. And when he comes in to do his kind of parade up and down the cadets, he asks Mahoney, he whispers in his ear, and he was like, I trust you told nobody. And he was like, no, I didn't breathe a word. And then he comes back down, and you see the rest of them stifling laughter, and some of their faces stifling the laughter. And the best is Jones at the end, because he can barely hold it in. And then as soon as he turns away, he makes the sound of a horse. And even the other sergeants are laughing at it. So I loved him as a character. I love Commandant Lassard. I think he is a fantastic, fantastic character. Fantastically, a great physical comedian. I love how confused he is. I love thinking about how the hell he got to the top of the police force, because he wanders about with a golf club and a fish in a bowl all the time. My favourite scene in the whole film, where there's like a convoluted setup where Mahoney, the guy you were talking about, Barbara, stands up to the two bullies that are in the police academy. He ends up hitting them in the face, one of them in the face with a tin pan or a tray that he takes, like a cafeteria tray. And then they, for some reason, decide the best way to get back to him is to plant a prostitute in his room. So he then calls on Mahoney, who helps him out, and for some reason decides to hide him in a podium, hide her in a podium. And then he's about to leave, and then he climbs into the podium with her. And then Commandant Lassard is to give a speech to all these visiting dignitaries. And she just assumes that he's the guy that she's supposed to service.
The target.
So The target, yeah. So you see him delivering this speech, and then all you hear is this zip getting put down. And his acting through that is, I genuinely still laughed at it so, so much. And then there's the amazing payoff when he walks away, having been relieved, turns round, and Mahoney pops his head out. And they just kind of have a look at each other, and he just goes, good speech, good speech. So yeah, I think set pieces like that is what I loved about it
and
so
much. And I think what it does really well is that it doesn't...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The funny thing is the unsaid thing. So yeah, he goes up the horse's ass, but it doesn't linger on it and goes, look at how funny this is. What is funny is that afterwards, everyone can't stop laughing. And same with that joke, he stood at the podium and it's not look at, you know, the action, it's look at him trying not to react to it. So it's like we've talked about on the pod before, like I don't like to say I hate any films or I don't like any films. When people ask me before, is there any films you really don't like? I've talked about, you know, the post scary movie, let's do every genre movie. So like disaster movie and all that. Because what those films do, and I've said this before, is sort of go, oh, look, it's Lady Gaga. Yeah? Yep, there she is. What's the joke? Well, she's there, isn't she? That's not writing. That's just like makeup and costumes. You've got to make it clever. You've got to, you know, your audience is clever. They will know what's going on. So you've got to find an angle that will make them react to that, not just, you know, essentially her in the podium doing that or the guy up the horse's arse, because people know that. You don't need to tell them that. You need to find something to make them go, oh yeah. And that is what this does really well, I think.
Even the line Mahoney delivers after he gets shoved up the horse's arse, when he just kind of shouts, he's like, someone call a veterinarian. Like, even that's a funny line, you know. It's well scripted.
That was the bit that made me think of Monty Python, was when they're all trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
And that was when I sort of made the connection of like, oh yeah, there is bits of it that's sort of like something like Life of Brian or Meaning of Life, where it's like, There is a plot, but actually it's a series of scenarios until the plot finishes, basically. And I really like that. It absolutely flew by as well. It's really well paced. But what about you, Alice? Was there anything else you particularly enjoyed?
Well, just interesting what you said then about how the funny moments are the things that aren't said. So my favorite thread throughout the whole thing, and the thing that I found the funniest, was whenever they would ask the woman to repeat something she'd said, but then she would say it again so, so quietly that no one could hear or understand her because she was so nervous. And this happened maybe 4 or 5 times. And every time I was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
But again, it's about what's not being said, because she goes to then repeat herself, but she like can't get her words out. She can't speak or whatever. I don't know. I just thought that was pretty funny, man. That tickled me every time.
What are the sequels like, Mark? Because I haven't seen any of them.
I've seen, bizarrely, there's an animated series as well. The sequels, I quite like the second one. The second one's basically just after they've, I think they're actual police. They're on the beat after that, and that's the second
one. They made it. They grabbed it.
And it's mostly the same characters, and then they get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
They are... Some of them are okay. Some of them are very, very funny bits. Mostly the characters stay the same all the way through. The last two, I think 6 and 7, are abysmal.
Right.
Wow, 6 to 7.
6 and 7.
But they're okay. Like they're very easy watching, and there are some very funny bits in it.
Yeah.
But none of them are as strong as the first one.
So you said your favourite... Who did you say your favourite character was, Alice?
Tackleberry?
Tackleberry. And who was yours, Mark?
Yeah.
Mine's Commander Anglesard.
Oh, yeah, Commander. I'm trying to think who mine is. I'd probably be tempted... I like the sound effects guy, but also maybe that's just because I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
I actually quite like Harris. I think he is similar to Lassard. I think he gives a really good performance.
He's funny, yeah.
As like a... he is a villain, but it's all just sort of bureaucracy and he's got to stick up his ass sort of thing, rather than he doesn't actually do anything villainous. He's a bit panto, isn't he? He's just sort of following them around and peeping around corners and always polishing a walking cane.
For some
reason. But lots of...
He gets like a minion. He's not the second one, there's a different kind of bad guy in the second one, but then he returns in the third, and he returns with a guy called Proctor,
right,
who is his second in command. And that is what the Simpsons, that was where the inspiration for the Simpsons of Mr. Burns and Smithers was. Just this kind of lapdog that does everything for him and worships him.
A lackey and a boss sort of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so we'll move on then to talk about things that we might change about the film or that we didn't like. Now, I don't think for you, Mark, there's gonna be loads, but is there anything that you would change about it?
There's not a huge amount, because we kind of have to address, like, there is problematic stuff in it. Would I change that? I don't know. I'm very reluctant to change anything from films that are clearly of their time, because, and I don't think this is as gratuitously, there's undoubtedly gratuitous nudity.
There is a lot of that.
There's just like no reason for it. there's racism in it as well.
There is.
However, I think in the case, it's definitely... there's only really one character that says anything untoward, and that is one of the two guys. I think they're called Blanks and Copeland.
The shaved head guys.
And both times they get called up on it. It's not...
Yeah.
Nobody joins in on the joke, and nobody... It's not played for laughs. It's played by this guy that is completely intolerant to anyone... that anyone from an ethnic minority that would consider joining the police.
Mm.
And certainly when he offloads, because there's a scene where Hooks, who's the quietly spoken cadet, they're doing a driving test and she runs over his foot, and then he racially abuses her.
And immediately
Hightower... Basically beats him up.
Yeah.
So he does get his comeuppance both times he says anything.
And that's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing, is it's not going, oh, that's funny that. They're going, look at this, look at this prejudice. Yeah. This person has this horrible view, and they're getting their justice.
Yeah.
It's like we did, so we've done plenty of films before. We've talked about how they've aged, haven't we, Alice? And when we did, like, and there are ones where you go, this isn't due to aging, this is due to poor writing. So we did 40 Days and 40 Nights, right? Which is the film where Josh Hartnett can't have sex.
Yeah.
And we went, every character in this is entirely sex obsessed. It's only from 20 years ago. And it's really strange, isn't it? Because like we said in the episode, Alice, that there is an idea there that could make something out of and make a really good comedy. But for some reason, it just falls on sort of cheap laughs, doesn't it, Alice?
Mm-hmm. But there, it depends. It depends who is making certain jokes and stuff. Like you say, because the guy who says all the racist language, he is one of the villains of the piece. Like, you're not rooting for him. The film doesn't want you to side with him.
Yeah.
I think if it was Mahoney maybe using that language, it would be a different story.
Exactly.
But it isn't. And because it's satire as well, it's like even some of the treatment of women and obviously all the boobs and bums and stuff, it's a bit like, but this is... It is satire. It's kind of taking the piss out of the things that society think men care about, or, you know, the things that men do just care, you know, or they just want to see tits and ass and all this. And even when they're in the police academy, they just want to see tits and ass. So it kind of just felt like it was taking the piss out of those things. So it doesn't really feel as,
and it never,
like, as big a deal.
It's, I think as well, the thing is with this as well, is it's got protagonists, but there's no one in there held up as a shining example of, like, purity or, like, this person. Like, even Mahoney
really,
is the hero of the piece, but even he is, like, shown to be a flawed character. He's shown to, like, have a bit of a temper and react badly and be a bit obnoxious.
Yeah.
And, like, so it's not, like you say, it's not shown, it's holding anyone up as a beacon of positivity. It's a satire, like Alice says.
I mean, like, with Mahoney, he is the main character. And he obviously is. There's a kind of, at the start, because it's Kim Cattrall, who is the female cadet that he ends up with in a relationship. And there's a bit at the start where he pretends to basically be Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's standing as they just arrive, and he's standing there and pretends to be her, and then asks her a phone number. And then she kind of says, what? And he goes, come on, ice front, phone number now. And then even that I found quite harmless, because when Harris comes along and he says, what are you doing? And he goes, meeting women, sir. It's just a guy chatting someone up.
And she does take him on as well. She's not like, she's not like, leave me alone. Yeah. Like they're flirting, basically.
Yeah.
From what you can tell.
And Mahoney becomes a good guy because he takes the fall. For Barbara later on, which leads to him being thrown out. And he takes that fall knowing that he's going to go to jail because he hasn't managed to complete the full course.
And it's very easy, I think, in this day and age in order to make a point, to look at something that's old and say, oh, this is, you know, shows a prejudice. And it's like, I think there's a difference between showing a prejudice and being from a different time. And I think that is an example. You know, there are things in this, like there is racist language, like we touched on. Now, Mahoney uses some homophobic language. And it's, you know, it did stick out to me, but I've heard stuff from more recently use that word to refer to homosexual people. And it's, you know, it's not right. It's not right. And you wouldn't use it now. But I guess we've looked at it and gone, well, we know that's bad. So. But you can't then pretend.
Yeah.
You can't then pretend it was never used, because if anything, then you're just trying to hide your own history. If anything, you need to go, it was used. We shouldn't have done it, and now we don't.
Yeah,
for me,
we need to see the evolution as well. We need to see how film has evolved, and we can't assess how far we've come if we don't look at what once was and what was once acceptable.
Exactly. Otherwise, how do you know you've progressed and bettered yourself?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Deep, that, isn't it, for Police Academy. So, Alice, was there anything that you particularly didn't like?
So, I feel like I could have done with a bit more time with world building and character development at the beginning.
Right.
So, you know, maybe see what problems the city has that the mayor is trying to fix to bring on this mass recruitment for the police officers. Because I think you get a bit of a slide at the beginning, don't you, that just says, oh, the mayor's decided this is what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to see a bit of like, well, let me see the problems. What is going wrong? Why is she going to such extreme circumstances that she just wants to hire as many police officers as possible from, you know, all over the place, all different walks of life or whatever? Like, how has she come to that decision? And I just wanted to see a bit more from the characters at the beginning as well. You do get a little bit, like, when each of them, it's like, you know, basically as they're about to go to the police academy, like, we get the woman, she's in the car and she's talking to her mum about it and stuff. I could have just done with a bit more there so that by the time we get to the academy, like, you're already engaged with those characters and, like, maybe you have feelings for them, maybe you care about them, maybe you already hate them or whatever. So just a little bit more around that. From a technical point of view, some of the audio was pretty shit. Like, the volume was quite inconsistent. Sometimes I struggled to hear the dialogue. Like, I was really straining sometimes, and then it would be really loud in one part and then really quiet in another. So obviously that, you know, just a sign of the times. I'm sure they were just using the best microphones they had. But I did notice that I was like, oh, fucking hell, I don't even know if I can really hear what they're trying to say.
And then, like, I couldn't follow them all the time. That's like a dubbing issue. Sometimes that can be a dubbing issue with films from that time,
I think so, yeah. So there was just that. And then finally, it does just feel a little bit out, like a bit of its time. Like, I feel like satire and comedy has evolved so much in the decades since it's come out that I think this would now struggle to pack the same punch that other films of the present day that take a similar vein would, if you know what I mean. So I did have to try and watch it, like, really put myself in that headspace. Well, no, imagine it's the early 80s. What kind of films would you have seen up until now? And then you just kind of got to ignore everything that's happened in the past 30 or 40 years. So I do think it's very of its time, which I think could potentially be isolating to modern audiences.
So do you think a lot of this is, like, the strength of this is based on a lot of people's nostalgia?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I would say, I reckon if you saw this as a kid, you'd think it was the best thing ever.
What do you reckon, yeah, Mark, to that?
I totally agree. It wouldn't stand up to modern comedies at all. I think partly it might because of the silliness of it. I think it's a very, very silly film.
There's a stylistic element in there as well, isn't there, of the way comedy and comedy films have changed. Like, you could tell an 80s comedy, you can tell a 90s comedy.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating to look at it in that way as well, and to actually see how far we've come, and to see, like you said before, Mark, to see the influences that it has had and how it's had an impact on things that maybe are still getting produced today as well, which in itself is fascinating.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What about you, Josh? Anything you didn't like?
The only thing that we've not already touched on, which I suppose sort of goes back to what you were saying about the character development, I would have liked to have seen more of Kim Cattrall's character, because she's sort of there to be a love interest, and I think she's a great actor and she's a bit wasted in this, and even if it's just a couple more scenes of, like, why does she want to she wants to join the police because she just says she wants to, but, like, why? Like, I'd quite like more of her character, so that when they get together at the end there's a bit more of a payoff, so perhaps maybe even up her and Mahoney's part so they were both co-leads or whatever. I mean, you know, that's just something I'd change about it. Maybe just lose her a little bit more. But no, overall, nothing that we'd not already touched on. I'll tell you one thing, actually, is the bit where they're training with the rifles and the guy turns around. That absolutely...
Yes!
Because I did that. So I was... I might cut this. This is so nerdy.
Go on.
I was in the scouts, right?
Oh, that's okay. I think a lot of people were,
and we were
John,
using air rifles, and I was practicing, and someone said something, and I went, what? And turned around.
Oh, God.
And literally everyone, and it's just an air rifle, do you know what I mean? But everyone went, shit, dived out of the way. And it just made me go, oh, I was him. That's a stupid thing to do.
That's a really good sequence, that, because you do have Barbara where, because as soon as he gets the gun, he shoots it off into the air, and then he does the turn around and everyone ducks. And up until then, the guy that's taking him out on the course kind of says, come with me. And then Tacklebury comes up, and you can tell this is the moment he's been waiting for. So he gets up and cocks the gun himself and then says to the instructor, come with me. And then ends up running through. He's like diving over cars as if it's like Starsky and Hutch and stuff. It's great.
Okay, so we'll move on then to having a little look at the critical reception then. Now, Alice, you haven't seen the critical reception. Mark, I don't know if you've had a chance to have a look at it. So, we'll come to you first, Mark. How do you think it did critically? What sort of scores do you think we're looking at?
I think around about... critically, it'll depend when the reviews were done. I think it'll have done all right. I think it'll have blown the doors off anything, but
all right.
I think it'll have got a solid 7.
Okay.
Maybe 7 out of 10. I'm going 7 out of 10.
Okay. Alice, what do you think?
So I feel like it is pretty iconic in its own way, and the fact that it's so present in pop culture, I think, says a lot. So then I'm just torn, well, is that coming from the audiences or is that coming from the critics? So I wonder if maybe the audience scored it high, but the critics perhaps not so generous. So I would probably bring it down a bit lower than Mark. I reckon we're probably looking at maybe early sixes. Maybe like a late 5, maybe. I think I'll go bang on 6.
Bang on 6.
To sort of straddle those two numbers. But I would say it could be anywhere between like a 5.7 and like a 6.3. But I reckon.
Okay.
I reckon a 6.
Okay. So at the time of recording on IMDb, it gets 6.7 out of 10.
Okay.
On Rotten, not bad. On Rotten Tomatoes, from the audience, it gets 64%. And from the critics, it gets 55%, which averages out at 62%. So, what do we think? That's underrated, right? For me, I think that's underrated.
What do you think, Mark? How does that make you feel?
I think, yeah. I mean, it's close to what I thought it would be. I think it deserves up to an average of 70%. I really do. I think it's underrated.
I think 62% is underrated because it's like Alice said. It's funny, it's got different types of comedy in it, but also it's had a real lasting effect. Like, I know there's elements of parody later on, but you've got to admit that first one, the influence it's had has been great. It's still parodied today, and I think 62% is harsh for me. What do you reckon, Alice?
So that's about right for me. I would say that that's probably appropriately rated, but I reckon if I'd seen it younger, and we had a lot of really dodgy films in my house when I was growing up, so I'm surprised I didn't end up seeing this when I was about 6 years old. So I wonder if I am not the core audience for it.
55% though, from the critics. What do you think to that?
Yeah, I feel like I'm not surprised by that number, really. I'm not surprised by the critics. Oh, no, never. Oh, they could be real bastards.
I can imagine them all in 1984 watching this just furiously writing.
Yeah. But I think Mark has made a lot of very good points. So I do think it can go into the underrated pile.
So there we go, Mark. Into the underrated pile. Into the underrated vault. Excellent. Police Academy goes. Well, thanks very much for coming on, man.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, that was so much fun. I've never had a chance to talk about that film ever. It's been bubbling away under the surface for years. The amount of people
who said that, like, I just wanted to talk about this film and no one. like therapy or something.
I wish I'd saved Grease 2 because I would have loved to have been able to speak about that with a guest. It was just me and Josh.
It would have been the first ever 3-hour episodes that you've ever had to put out. So.
I tell you what, why don't we at some point, right, do, instead of an episode, we could do some sort of live chat about Grease 2.
I won't do that to you, Josh. No. Don't worry.
If Mark agrees to come on and we see if M is free, we'll have an Instagram live chat about Grease 2 and people can ask us questions about it.
I'll get you the blueprints to this plan because I am down.
There we go. We'll get that booked in for some point at some point in the future. Mark, where do the listeners look out for your stuff? What should we be looking out for?
Well, you can find me on any social media. It'll be at Mark Nelson Comic on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. I've got my own podcast, which is all about music, where I've got a guest every week and they pick a playlist. It's called My Perfect Playlist.
Right.
You'll find that everywhere on the podcasts. It's basically I get guests from comedy, all sorts of entertainment worlds, and I give them various categories to pick a playlist and we talk about why they've chosen those songs. And I also have just released my first ever comedy special. Brilliant. On YouTube. So if you Google Mark Nelson Comedy, you'll be able to find that on YouTube completely free.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, amazing. Will, Mark Nelson Comedy on YouTube.
We'll make sure we put all of that up on the social medias and when we release the episode and all that. So yeah, make sure you check out Mark's stuff. And thanks very much for joining us, Mark. Thank you.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for asking. Cheers.
So there we go, Mark Nelson talking to us about Police Academy. Do be sure to check out all his stuff, because I've watched a lot of his videos and stuff, and he is brilliant. He's well worth a look. Yeah, we'll be back next week with another film. Until then, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all your social medias if you just search for Just Films and That Pod. And we're also on the television every Friday, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. That's every Friday from 6 p.m. on the local TV network. So if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool, or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. Or if you've got Sky, we're on Channel 195. That's every Friday night from 6 p.m. That's the local TV network.
Yes, there you go. Lots of places to check us out. So please do make sure that you do. And as ever, your support and you listen to this is always really, really appreciated. Until next week, it's goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.